Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. It's 9:08 WPTF time. Second hour of the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here. And Johnny Coley, extension agent in Granville and Person County, is with us. Always glad to have Johnny. Brother Rufus is not in the studio. He's sitting high atop a mountain at a hotel somewhere near Boone, sitting on the porch, smoking a cigar, and rocking. Is that...
Well...
You're not rocking?
Well, yes, I am, and I'm looking out. This is the one, Hampton Inn, if you come into Boone. I have 10 folks here, but I sort of like to have my own taste. And I'm looking out over what used to be the farm right here at Perkinsville, where now sits the Watauga County High School. That was the farm I grew up on, and I just have favorite memories of walking around from my home, stopping at first at Aunt Lena's, get something to eat, then stop at Aunt Lottie's, then get something to eat there, and then tell about 3 o'clock to get dessert there. That was my circle.
Well, who had the dessert? I missed that.
That was Aunt Nell.
Aunt Nell. All right, let's start out again. You had Aunt Lottie.
Aunt Lena first.
Aunt Lena.
Aunt Lottie.
Aunt Lena, Lottie, and...
And Nell.
Nell.
And they all lived within a half a mile of home. That's what most people don't have today. Just think of that. And when I was a young kid and didn't have to work in fields yet, I would start that pilgrimage, and by the end of the day, my belly stuck out like a pumpkin.
So you ate full meals at two of the places and then dessert at the third.
Yeah, and they always insisted. And the reason I got dessert, it was about 3 o'clock by the time I got to Aunt Nell's.
Did it take you that long to walk there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I took my time at each one of them. And I enjoyed Aunt Lottie the most because her husband, Uncle Bynum, owned the Perkinsville grocery store. And I would get a couple little pieces of candy.
So wow. That's kind of like my Aunt Ora Lee. She had her a store in Eugene. I had two Eugene uncles. They were married to sisters. My mother's sisters both had husbands named Eugene. They were quite different, but they smoked cigars, so you would have liked them. But I mean, y'all would certainly have had that to talk about. But yeah, and my mother's situation was very similar. All of the brothers, except for her, she left, but everybody else, her 8 brothers and sisters, all lived along Highway 561 near Lewisburg. So
yeah, it just doesn't happen much anymore. Everybody picks up and leaves, and that's why I had such a wonderful childhood in spite of all the hard work.
Right.
I mentioned to you, Mike, that I'm doing a new book, and I'm taking a lot of those experiences to try to show how people can get along together, be civil, and just have a good attitude in these times when people are at one another, road rage up. I often wonder what in the world is happening to this world.
So are you gonna tell some stories too?
Yes, I will. I love to tell stories.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be you if you weren't telling stories. So So we now know a little more about your background today. We met Joe, and now we've got Lena, Lottie, and Nell, and Uncle Bynum. So
Lot lived over to Aho. That's
Aho. I've never heard of that. Where's Aho?
Aho is closer to Boring Rock than it is Boone. And the story is that one time explorer DeSoto was walking through the area, and he sat down and got so tired he said, "Aho." Yeah, I don't believe you believe that, Johnny.
Well,
that's a real stretch things. To bring DeSoto in there, maybe a car.
Yeah.
So are those Yankees at the Hampton Inn still looking at you?
A couple went by a while ago, and the guy said, "Boy, that's made a start of the day." He thought I was talking to myself. And I said, "Talking about the cigar?" He said, "Well, yeah, but you must be having fun."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, I'm on the radio."
That's right.
He said, "Well, that's something I've never seen before."
Yeah, dadgum right. You know, we're one of a kind here at the Weekend Gardener. We
by
bring
way, all around this place in Boone, the hydrangeas are just aglow. Oh, we call them snowballs here. I assume they're some people say that they're more in the area of by Burnham, but it looks like a hydrangea to me.
Yeah, that's the Annabelles up there. Yeah, they are beautiful.
Johnny just went to Colorado. He's breaking bad going up there where all the wildfires are.
Well, they started after I left.
You were telling me it's very dry there, so they don't have as many disease problems. You said, what were you saying about the zinnias?
Yeah, it was just amazing. We went to some garden centers, or a garden center, I guess. Went by several, but we did stop at one, and all the beds of zinnias that they have was just amazing. Because by this time of year, our zinnias have a black spot on them so bad you can't hardly see the blooms for them.
Right.
But they are just beautiful out there because it's no humidity hardly. And that was one of the hardest things to get used to when we got back was humidity again. A week, and I was used to that drier air. But they are having some wildfires in the area. Boulder County is where we spend a lot of time out there, and they're having some
fires. So are there a lot of ornamental plants out there, trees?
Oh yeah. They have, of course, they have their their conifers. Their
yeah, I'm sure they have
blue
conifers.
Spruce and
right
firs that do wonderful there. And came through the Poudre Canyon. I think that's probably not the proper pronunciation of that canyon. But anyway, beautiful foliage, and a wildfire was through there in 2021, I believe, that did a lot of destruction. You can still see a lot of the charred trees and such. But yeah, it's beautiful country, and we've got some friends that live out there, and I like to go see them. It's been a while since we've been out there, but it's just amazing. Just talking to Craig on the diseases with tomatoes, with our humidity, it really does exasperate that those diseases, foliar diseases especially. But out there with the lower humidity, they can grow some beautiful plants and not be as diseased as we are, because they're a little bit earlier on in their season now. They had a lot of plants that we would a lot of our garden centers are getting ready for fall just about in August, where they're just sort of in the middle of their growing season out there because they don't start till later. But
well,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's in the 60s there in Boone, where Rufus is, and I'm sure very pleasant this morning. I assume it's humid though.
It's about 65 now, and it'll get warmer. But it's just something about this mountain air, even though it's humid, it's just so refreshing.
Yeah.
I'm going, as I said, at lunchtime, I'm going to go over to where Brother Joe is, and we're going to have an Edison feast.
A feast? That's all you're talking about this morning is food.
Right. There'll be three or four meats, six or eight different vegetables, and my niece has baked what I love the most, a plain, simple chocolate cake.
A chocolate cake. Now, is that got yellow or white or just chocolate cake with icing on it? I mean, is it what is your favorite?
Well, my favorite is I had something the other day called a mudslide cake. It had nuts at this restaurant yesterday in Wilkesboro. I went with my friend Paul White, who is doing a documentary on me that's gone on now in the third year. So I hope I stay alive long enough.
Yeah, I know he was working on it when you were 80.
Yeah, I said, well, Carl, how are we doing on it? And he said, well, these things take time for a complicated subject.
That's right, and you are a complicated subject. There's no doubt about that. Well, I'm glad that is this the niece that you were talking to in the car the other day, Joe's daughter?
That's Sarah.
Ah.
She lives down in, as my brother calls it, Pepsi-Cola.
Yeah.
And she's been a teacher all of her life. And her husband took over my brother Joe's environmental business. And they're just a fine couple. But by the way, while I'm remembering it, I had a couple calls from something I mentioned last week about ratchet hand clippers.
Yeah.
I just recommend them to everybody so highly. You got something that's approaching over half an inch. Sometimes you just have to turn the clipper and wiggle and worm and push hard. Well, this ratchet clipper takes a little bit of the time and it's so easy. And I've got a number for people. It's called Ironwood. Wood.com. Iron, wood2.com. A couple people called and want to know where they could possibly get one. And that cell number, or their number, is 1-800-969-4583.
Yeah, give that number again, Rufus.
1-800-969-4583. And I think everybody ought to have a pair of those. I can't find them. I never found them. I wanted to buy them at a local store, but I couldn't find them. And they're just a lifesaver. They're just wonderful. I ordered two the last time I ordered.
Now, it's called Ironwood. You were breaking up a little bit. You must have turned in the chair somehow. Or maybe you're rocking too hard. Ironwood Tool Company?
Yeah, Ironwood Tool Company. Ironwoodtool.com if they want to do by the internet.
Yeah, you sound better now. Okay. I'll look that up. And these are the hand, these are not the loppers, the big old loppers or things. These are kind that you just put in your hand and squeeze, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They also make a ratchet lopper, which I have one of those too, but I've just found it so very much easier. If you've got a branch on there, Johnny, that is approaching over half an inch and it's kind of hard wood, you sometimes have a hard time going all the way through, except starting it and moving the clipper around and around and struggling with it. You don't have to do that with this ratchet clipper. It just takes a little bit of the time. Move your handles up and down. It doesn't take, it's not prolonged either.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Yeah. That's interesting, and ratcheting helps if you don't have a lot of strength in your hands or in your arms. The ratcheting helps with the torque.
Yeah, well, if you don't have a lot of strength, is the magic about it.
Yeah. I was just looking, Rufus, not to change the subject. I was looking at this the computer models for this tropical storm. And, you know, what I was looking at a few minutes ago looked like it was more off the coast. But now the guy on television has it going more up toward us.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't.
Well, maybe I'm the
kind
right
of between
spot.
Raleigh and the coast now. So I don't know if this has changed. But if they are calling it a tropical depression in this thing on television. I was looking at something online from the National Hurricane Center, but it may be a different system, but I think it's the same one. Interesting. Yeah, we're getting into that season. We're going to talk, by the way, to the folks at the National Weather Service at 10:30. Talk to a meteorologist about this system, and he will bring us up to date. But it looks like it's going to go right over Charleston. So we'll see. But it's not going to be apparently a big hurricane or anything, but it will be a tropical storm or depression by the time it gets to us. So keep that in mind, especially if you have beach property. That's always affected, and sometimes we are too, because you know we're only 100 miles or so from the coast of North Carolina, and these are big storms. All right, we got the ratcheting.
It's a good looking pruner. I pulled that up. Yeah, like that would cut some pretty good sized limbs there, and very durable. It looks like.
Yeah, it does. Is that made out of
metal?
Yeah, it's looks like a heavy metal there, but they aren't. I'm sure they're not heavy.
No, they're not. They're just as light as the other. And one time I dropped one of them out on cement, and the tip broke off. And I called the company to order another one, tell them what happened. Well, they said that's not supposed to happen, and they sent me one, didn't charge me a penny.
Wow.
I just found it on eBay. No, that's Fiskars. Well, that's not ironwood. I'll have to check this out. We'll have to figure this out. Yeah. I'm going to have some of these. You talked about them so much.
Yeah, ironwoodtools.com.
Yeah.
Ironwoodtools.com. And do they have a holster?
No, I've got all kinds of holsters.
Well, I've got to have a holster if I'm going to have a hand printer. Something to hook to my belt.
Get them holstered.
Walk around the yard, look like I'm doing something.
That's a very good idea for Palmer. I have to hide my ratchet from him because he's pretty bad about not putting things down and not remembering about it. I found a pair of clippers that have been missing for 2 years the other day. And Palmer said, look what I found. I said, yeah, you laid it down.
How rusted was it?
Well, the truth about it was it just was rusted a little bit on the tip of it. And I said, no, that's yours. Put it in your pocket. I'm going to get you a holster.
Rufus's yard assistant. I guess he's termed like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
quick draw on the pruner.
Curator of the grounds.
You got curator of the Edmonston estate. That's right, Johnny said you ought, if you got the right kind of holster, you could try the quick draw, Rufus.
Yeah, be a quick draw.
Yeah, with a quick draw with clippers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
See that's intimidating, right there, buddy.
See an errant branch. You can.
Yeah, I dare you.
Well. I dare you not to come back when we take a break here, and because we got more to come here on the WPTF Weekend Gardeners, 9:26. Okay, we're back on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here. And Johnny Coley's there. Brother Rufus is still here. We had Craig LaHoulier on. Brother Tom Campbell called in and had Tom on for a few minutes. But Craig was on with us the last hour. This hour, we have had a real potpourri of subjects, including a great advertisement for the Ironwood Tool Company. I got to put a salesman on that, Rufus.
I think so. Yeah. They can pay me the lecture fee, and I'll do it for them.
Dadgum right. They have some good-looking pruners. These are really heavy-looking pruners. Are they titanium?
Well, they take a lot of abuse. I don't know. And they're light.
Yeah, they got to be titanium. I think I read somewhere they are.
It must be, yeah.
How about that?
I really would put a salesperson on them.
Yeah,
and I'll become their spokesperson for a fee.
Absolutely. Well, you certainly should get a fee. I'm going to have to order some of these. They're in...
The proof is in the using.
The proof is in the using, yeah. I mean, that was a great... We'll have to get some of them. There is a smaller pair, but they're different. Are they different too? The ones that have more plastic on them. I don't know. I guess they're the same thing.
Yeah, I think they're the same.
Yeah, I think they're a little smaller or something, but a ratcheted anything is good. Let's go to Linda in Selma. Linda, how can we help you today?
Yes. Good morning to all of you.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like, I have a, it's a Chinese tree, pretty tall, but it started shedding leaves early since it's of the dry weather. But now I notice there's so many black ants over crawling up it. What do you put on it to keep the ants off?
Well, the ants are going to, they're not going to harm anything. What kind of tree again is this? A Chinese what?
I don't know.
What are the leaves?
Gave it to me a long time ago. It came from the nursery and it's beautiful. It has beautiful flowers.
What? Okay, so it flowers in the spring or summer?
Yes, it flowers in the spring.
And what are the leaves? Can you describe the leaves to us?
Oh,
the leaves that are falling off.
They are. Yeah, I understand. I got it. Come on now. Anyhow, they are sort of like not four-leaf clovers, but a fan. They're pretty big, but I thought my tree was going to die because so many of the leaves started falling off. But since it's rained, it's perked back up.
Yeah, the ants are there, or would there be because there are aphids there?
Sounds like you maybe have some secretion from another insect that the ants are after.
I don't know. They're black.
They're after aphids. Are a little teeny tiny. You don't need a microscope, but you almost do for them. And the ants, Ann Clapp used to say that the ants kind of herd.
They would farm them, to keep because, the other predators away from the aphids.
And the aphids release a secretion that is a honeydew kind of thing, and it eventually you get some. You see any mildew anywhere?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to ask my son-in-law, and I will call y'all back next week what kind of tree it is, but I don't want it to die.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the ants. No. That's not the problem.
Yeah, it's usually another issue.
Ants on your countertop would be a problem.
Right.
Or fire ants would be a problem, but just black ants or regular old ants are not going to...
Sure. Well, thank y'all so much. I enjoy your show.
Well, you keep us updated on this, Linda. We don't want your tree to die.
Yeah, if we can find out what it is.
One's looking good, the other one not so much.
When my wife, when she for in 1975, when her first year of teaching, she taught in Johnston County, and she taught at three different schools, music teacher, and she lived in Selma. So I visited Selma many, many times.
What was her name, or don't you want to say?
Melissa Reeves was her name, and still is. It's Melissa Reeves Raley. So, yeah, she...
I have two daughters. One teaches first grade. The other one has retired, but she's still in administrative stuff. So, anyway.
Well, we love teachers.
Yeah.
Oh, don't we ever.
Yes, ma'am. And we love you too, Linda. We love your tree. We want it to get well.
What color does it bloom when it does bloom?
Oh, they look like they are green and sort of have yellows and look like a buttercup, sort of. They're really pretty.
Huh. Green and yellow?
And looks like a buttercup.
Yeah, sort of a pale green.
Rufus, you got any ideas about that?
I'm trying to think of it. I just can't think of that a tree with that kind of bloom on it.
I'll tell you, that's a real miracle.
A tree.
Huh. Well, I'm going to let you know. Look, yeah. Simpson have Bible schools that pray for us down here at Parish Memorial, and we love your show.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. Give our best to everybody there.
I'll do it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I got to look that up. Everybody's looking it up right now, folks. She's got us stumped.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't ask her if it was fragrant. That was another.
Yeah. Well, she's worried about it, and that's all that counts.
Yeah, yeah.
So we gotta figure out what that is. Well, Rufus, let's salute and head to Virginia as Major Dave joins us. Major.
Good morning, my
friend. I salute you, sir.
Well, right back at you, my friend. I'm calling to thank Rufus for reminding me of something that's been a joy in my life. When he mentioned how the town of Aho got its name.
Oh, my.
You've been worrying about that, Dave?
Yes, I have. I've got to tell you back, I want to say it's maybe late 70s, early 80s. Charles Perrault narrated a video called North Carolina is My Home.
Yes.
Produced by UNC Public Television System. It's still available on YouTube.
Right.
But he says in that count that the townspeople were sitting around trying to decide a name for their town, and they all agreed to whatever the next person said would become the name of that town. And they sat there and pondered and pondered, and finally this one fellow just rears back in his chair, tucks his thumbs in his waistband, and says, "Hey ho."
Oh, wait a minute. I thought that was DeSoto.
Oh, that's good.
That makes more sense. I don't think DeSoto ever did.
I think I put DeSoto in there.
I think you did too. Or a man driving a DeSoto.
Well, as usual, y'all been talking about tomatoes this morning, and the drought hit mine pretty bad, but that storm coming in now by the middle of this week, we should be getting another deluge, and I'm hoping they're going to rebound.
Yeah, well, and but more disease too, probably, Dave.
Yeah.
Craig was talking about they get in the fall, different types of diseases that affect tomatoes, and they don't have good luck with fall tomatoes there.
Right.
And I assume y'all don't either.
No, that's true, and we have a great farmer's market near here that actually sells us boxes of canning tomatoes. A 20-pound box is $20, so $1 a pound.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
I got to tell you, these tomatoes are prettier and better than most anything you're going to see on your grocery shelf store.
Wow.
I don't doubt it. Well, that's wonderful.
Well, she spent last weekend, and now we got about another 47 quarts of spaghetti sauce sitting in the pantry. We're good for a year.
Goodness. I could eat spaghetti for breakfast.
I'll bring you something.
Well, Dave, I like you, moved to pots, and I put...
You moved to pots, not pot, right?
I mean, I moved to tomatoes in POTS, and I'd heard about some kind of diseases coming up from the ground. So I put them up on blocks, on bricks, about two bricks high, and the blight still came. So that didn't solve anything about this blight.
Out.
Huh.
Well,
must have been a foliar issue rather than.
Yeah.
You still grow yours in pots, don't you, Dave?
No, actually, I put all mine in the ground this year. And we had so much space. Since we bought the tractor, we're able to turn the ground. We said, we'll just go ahead and put them in the ground. And even the container variety of Romas have done very well, but they didn't get more than about 24 inches tall, even in the ground.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, I'd forgotten that y'all had drought up there, too.
Well, I just got to say what I got to say, and that is, I know what I know because I listen to the show.
You certainly do. By golly, and we're so glad that you called. It's always a treat, Major Dave.
Have a great weekend, everyone. See you next weekend.
Okay.
Thank you, Major.
Thank you, Major.
All right.
Bye. All right. I'll go at Eddie's right now since the major's not here. 919-860-9783. We're going to have the folks from the National Weather Service on for a few minutes around 10:30. Coming up just after the 10 o'clock news, I think Miss Monica will join us from State Farmers Market. She's the manager as we are moving along here on the Weekend Gardener. Rufus, have y'all had any rain up there in the last day or so in Boone?
Well, as I said earlier on the show, I had to come in from Wilkes.
Oh, that's right, when you were driving up.
Twice to pull off, but it was just a downpour. As I said, I was scared of other people, not myself. And as it's an authorized pull-off on the mountain there that I remember helping dedicate back when Governor Martin was governor.
Oh, wow. How about that? How ironic. But okay. Joe got along real well.
We did. And that shows you how people can get along. He took me for governor, and I became Secretary of State the second year he was in. And we worked just like a nice team of horses, Johnny. We didn't in any manner. I don't remember him ever saying anything ugly about me. I didn't about him. And I wish it were that way in all cases today, but we don't indulge in politics on this show.
We certainly don't. Or I do my best to keep it out. You know,
somebody's as nice as Governor Martin was, then they deserve to be mentioned.
Yeah. And he was a chemistry professor, had a doctorate in chemistry, just like Craig LaHulier.
Yeah.
Two really smart people. Wow. How about that? Well, you know, I went online and looking for shrubs with green flowers, and the only thing I could find really was hydrangea.
Yeah, it's the only thing I could come up with is a hydrangea, but it doesn't have a tulip shape. I don't know. She said, did she say tulip?
She said gladiola, didn't, or I don't know what she...
Well, she referred to it as a tree, not a shrub.
That's right. Chinese something. I can't wait to find out what it is. She's going to make us wait a week.
I wonder if it's a viburnum.
Well, that's some unusual looking viburnums.
They're very
hardy. Mine are very hardy. I've never had any disease on it at all. But
never had much aphid issues.
As you say, there's so many varieties that I think that could have a bloom that she described.
I don't know.
Well, if you have ants,
certainly,
as I said, if they're in your house.
They're a problem.
They become a problem.
Yeah.
But outside, unless it's a fire ant, it's not usually a problem, but it is a symptom
of something
else going on.
It's usually an indicator that you probably do have aphids or
scale.
Could it be
a borer of some type that, it's seeping.
They don't usually secrete the honeydew like the aphids.
So they would be attracted to honeydew and not whatever was coming out of the tree.
All right. I mean, if you have, the only thing I can think of is coming out of a tree would be like slime flux or something like that. It's a bacterial issue that oozes out. And usually that attracts your hornets and your wasp and things like that. It sort of has a smell that attracts them. Usually not so much ants, and it's a white substance that comes out of the tree. So I don't know. I don't know what the plant is, but I think it is probably an aphid issue that she's having.
That was the first thing I thought of, and I'm sure Rufus did too. Aphids that they were attracted to the honeydew.
Yeah.
So Rufus, go ahead.
I had three aunts, Aunt Lena, Aunt Lottie, and Aunt Nell.
I know, I got it written down. I got it written in Uncle Bynum.
I was gonna say, Rufus, I had an Aunt Lena. She lived in Spring Hope over in
Mike's.
Aunt Lena, I had an Aunt Lena that lived in
Aunt
Lena. In Spring Hope.
I knew a Lena. She was married to a salesman at my father's Chevrolet Buick dealership.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And she worked for the town.
Okay. I'm not sure I never knew my Aunt Lena, except for when she
was Aunt Lena's all over the place now, apparently. Yeah. And, of the key.
Now, Uncle Bynum, he had two shots at it. His first wife was named Blanche, who was Aunt Lena Aunt Lottie's sister. So he stuck within the Edmiston sisters.
Well, did Aunt Blanche pass away, or
I never met her. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's real sad. But he, how about that? So he married the sister.
He married the sister.
How about that? Huh. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. I don't think that counts as incest, does it?
No. And we don't get into politics. We're certainly not going to get into that on this show. Good gracious. Hey, where are you going to get a hot dog today?
I'm going to have some of Sarah's good cooking today.
Oh, that's right. You got that reunion going on. Well, maybe she'll have some hot dogs, too. And a chocolate cake.
Oh, yeah. I know we're going to have a cousin Gladys tomato, because I've got it with me right up in my room.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't get to talk to cousin Gladys. She sounded like a fine person.
Oh, she's delightful.
Now,
I came 1 year, but years ago to Duke Hospital, and he was such a delightful patient that the guy who was in charge of customer relations said he deputized her as the deputy public relations person for Duke Hospital, and she'd come all the way from Johnson City.
Wow. Now, your mother used to, if you lived in Wilkesboro or Taylorsville, someplace like that, you had to go under the mountain. You lived under the mountain. So,
down the mountain.
So what about Aunt Gladys? Did she, in Tennessee, did she live under the mountain?
Johnson City, recalling my days of going over there for a week in the summer at Uncle Wade, it was sort of like the foothills around Johnson City, Tennessee.
So that was way under the mountain.
Yeah, and Uncle Wade was famous for his being a jokester. At that time, when I was a young boy, they had an outhouse. They didn't have...
Oh, wasn't that a treat?
Uncle Wade had 7 children, and he made an outhouse that was a 3-holer. Yeah.
That's big money. That's basically hit up a day, too. So what was Lena's husband's name?
Aunt Lena's, his name was Robert.
Oh, well, that's just kind of a regular name. What about Nell?
He ran a motorcycle shop.
Oh. Was he a hoodlum?
Oh, he died from a motorcycle.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, my father drove race cars, but he never would get on a motorcycle. He said they were too dangerous. Nell, what was her husband's name?
Her husband was Uncle Lloyd. Uncle Lloyd worked for Goodnight Brothers Produce. He would load and unload cabbage, sell seeds, do all the things you did in an old-fashioned produce house back at that time, where you could buy anything you wanted. And
we're going to have to create a Edmiston family tree. This is real interesting.
Well, cousin Barbara, who's coming over today, who's the sister to Gladys, has done such a thing.
Oh, well, good for her.
Extremely interesting on both sides. My father's side and my mother's side, she's a genealogist. And it's very, very interesting.
Well, who's the cousin that oversees the graveyard?
That's my nephew, Ray Stevens.
That's R.A.S.
That's R.A.S., yeah.
It's just too much. It's just too much fun. I'm sorry.
More than they want to hear about the Edmiston family. I'm not getting into any details.
Well, I'm not gonna start questioning anything beyond that. I just wanted to know some names.
When you write a book, your biggest problem, Johnny, is what not to put in the book.
Yeah, exactly.
For fear of a lawsuit.
It's not what you put in, it's what you keep out.
Steve is here. Steve, how's everything in Garner?
Well, my wife stepped in an ant bed, and she's got ant bites all over her left foot.
Oh, so a fire ant?
No, they were those little black ones.
Oh.
They just eat her up.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, she must be extra sweet.
Well, yeah, I guess I think she's sweet.
Yeah.
But she, we spent the better part of the morning in the emergency room. And
oh, I'm sorry. Wow.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, my.
But she's, we got medicine for her, so she should be all right.
Well, that's good.
I just want to get in real quick. Our next meeting at the Raleigh Daylily Club is on August the 11th. It's at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, August the 11th, at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum. And we're going to have Mike Luthler and Bill Hurt, two hybridizers, are going to be there to talk about year-round color in the garden with planting plans for the daylilies. With their late medium, I mean, early, mid, and late blooming, to help you, you know, determine where you want to, where, how you want to plant. We had, we're down to 10 now, 10 plants blooming. So we're on the downward spiral.
Yeah. This summer has really been moved quickly.
Hot.
It sure has.
I tell you what, though, it's the humidity that kills you. I lived in El Paso for 15 years, and that dry heat's a whole lot different from this heat here.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. Yeah, dry.
Hey, out there, you just have to watch out for the sunburn.
Yeah. Right, and dehydration.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to run around in shorts and no shirt, and I was as tan as the Hispanic kids I played with. So the only reason you could see me apart was on my blonde hair.
Right. Well, yeah, I think we all did that. Got pretty brown and.
Yeah, and I can't do that nowadays.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, we. It's. You got to wear some sunscreen.
Yeah.
Which is a good idea. Something we missed and something that people have paid for too. All that sun they've gotten. Well, Steve.
Rufus, did your second horizon rebloom?
Yeah.
The plant we gave you?
Absolutely. It bloomed. It's still a little bit on it right now.
And yeah, by the way, did I tell you that your crepe myrtle bloomed? That thing has tripled in height since I planted it, and it's white. Did you know that?
Great. Yeah.
Okay.
When I gave it to you, I couldn't remember what kind it was.
Yeah. It's white. But I can't believe how fast that thing has grown. It really likes the spot I put it in.
It apparently does, yeah. They can grow pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take a picture of it and bring it to the next remote we come to.
All right, my friend.
All right.
Thank you, Steve. Bye-bye. We've got a couple of minutes for Rick and Wendell. Rick, how are you?
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
All righty. How can we help you, sir?
Well, that nice lady who called earlier about being concerned about her tree.
Linda in Selma. Yes, sir.
When she described large leaves and green and yellow blooms, first thing I thought of was a tulip tree.
Oh, the tulip poplar?
I think so. I've got one in my yard, and it's got the, it has blooms that are yellow and green.
That's right.
You don't see them because they're so high up in the tree.
That's right, and they're kind of cat face. We call that the cat face tree.
Yeah, and they
have a. I could see where she would have described it as like a.
The leaves are definitely tulip shaped. So,
well, that might be it.
And they would be green. Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Of course, this time of year.
Yeah. She said it blooms in the spring.
It does bloom in the spring, and the yellow leaves falling off of a poplar right now would be very common. So, especially with the dry.
So it don't worry about it at all. I bet that's it then, Rick. Yeah. You're a smart guy. We have some smart listeners, and we need help. No doubt.
I also want to tell you, since I've called in, that
got about 30 seconds.
I've had a garden for 35 years, and this summer, my tomatoes have been the most abundant I've ever had.
Ooh, you got paradise. I hope you got enough bread and mayonnaise.
I have no idea what I did right or wrong.
And next year will be different.
Yeah. And that's just the life we live as gardeners.
Yep. Whatever you did wrong, don't do it again.
Right. Yeah, whatever you did wrong, don't do it again, Rick.
Don't do it again.
Yeah, do whatever you did right, do it.
I will.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much for calling, and please call us again.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. Bye. I've already had a good day so far. I hope everybody has. Yeah. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up.